already here. His name is Linda Yende. He is an author, but also a thinker about these issues. I'm looking at a book that he's written. I think it's his first book. It's called Wake Up Woman. Interestingly, that this feature is called Man Talk. And we're going to be talking about the grief, the sadness that men go through when they have a breakup with a significant other. And I'm told that it's slightly different to that of women. That whole process is slightly different to that of women when experienced by men. And of course, it's a hugely general conversation, right? It's a hugely general conversation. And we're going to broach it this evening with Linda Yende, who's already here with me in studio. Really looking forward to this conversation. But Linda, thank you so much for agreeing to talk to me. I appreciate it.
It's an absolute pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure.
And I want to thank you specifically for making it to studio at this time of the evening.
Yeah.
I really, really appreciate it.
There's no traffic at this time. I'd rather do this than any day.
Absolutely. Do you like our studio?
Oh, they're beautiful. Listen, this is my third time here.
Really?
Yeah. I love it.
It's a subject that I think that most guys probably don't talk about, maybe don't want to talk about.
True.
But I've come to discover that maybe even that notion that says that guys don't want to talk about those sensitive issues in their lives may be ill-informed. That maybe because of the way that we've been socialized in thinking about the way that men understand issues of emotional issues, that we've resigned ourselves to believing that guys don't want to talk about it. But I find that whenever we give them the opportunity to do so, then guys do talk about it. And so I want to start off by inviting all the men out there. But of course, this conversation is not restricted to men. The sisters out there, the women out there, please join us in this conversation, because your insights are always earth-shattering. We need them. And I really would like for you to join us on 011-883-0702 as we talk about the grief that men feel and express when they break up with somebody that they've been in a romantic relationship with. How's it different, Brelinda? How is it different for men?
It's different, interestingly, because of the reasons you've stated right now.
Yep.
That, you know, women are very quick to have their exhale sessions.
Yeah.
They'll sit down with a bunch of friends and they'll have some wine and they'll cry it out, and all the friends will commiserate with her and tell her what a bastard you are and what a nonsensical she never trusted you to begin with.
Yep.
And you know, they'll be the support group.
They'll vent.
They will vent.
Yep.
And she will, you know, she'll go through her stages of grief properly. We, on the other hand, generally will tend to initially sort of shrug it off and pretend as if there's nothing wrong. We'll shrug it off and we'll be out there partying up a storm and doing all sorts of things. But in the process, that's where you actually start bleeding on other people. And there's a lot of people who will actually jump into, guys I'm talking, who will jump into, you know, the next person's arms and the next person's bed. There's even a phrase that they've come up with, which is get over her by getting under her type of thing. And you know,
that sounds very familiar though. Eh?
Yeah. There's a song that has it. Oh yeah. Look, we all do.
Yeah.
We all do.
Yeah.
And we almost wear it as a badge of honor.
Yeah.
To say, you know what? I'm going to go through this rebound period. And we don't even term it as such. We say, I'm over her. That's proof that I'm over her.
Yeah.
And, you know.
You were going to say about a song?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what song it is.
I think you're probably thinking about Temptations, Men Cry Too?
No. I was talking about the phrase, get over her by getting under me.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I think, look, at the end of the day, we really do find ourselves bleeding onto other people then, because you haven't given yourself the chance to mourn this relationship that you've just walked out of.
Very toxic.
Yeah, absolutely. Women tend to be fixers. by nature. They tend to, so she thinks she can handle this. Yes, you are hurting. Yes, you've gone through this trauma, but we'll be okay.
011-883-0702, give us a call if you recognize what Linda Yende is saying about how we get over the grief, if we ever do get over the grief of a breakup by getting under her in order for her, for you to get over her. Do you recognize that kind of syndrome? Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702. How did you handle the romantic breakup with somebody that you had a significant connection to? Did you get a chance to speak with somebody, some people? Or did you just man it?
Man up.
Give me a call. I'd love to take your calls. And what was the effect, not only on you, but on the other people that were around you? I'd love to take that call, 011-883-0702. Why do we find it hard to objectively deal with the matter?
I think this is the point where we fall into stereotypes.
Yeah.
The stereotype that says, the only emotion that we are socialized to express is one of strength, is one of being hard. So either anger or, we don't get that opportunity, traditionally anyway. Things are changing now.
Yeah.
Things are changing.
And the very fact we're having this conversation is a very, very important
sign
marker
of the times.
For me. Yeah, yep. Sure. Yeah.
Sign of the times. And we're doing it more and more. We had a men's conference just 2 weeks ago. And we
really?
Were doing
a real
yes.
one?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. We had Empower Men. And it was incredible to see men speaking. And, we had breakaway rooms where we go in and we'll have a conversation about sexual matters. You know, because we all supposed to be studs. We all, when you're sitting with your buddies and having a beer, you are a six-round man and you lost the whole night and you're this and you're that. So, it was very refreshing to just have. And, there's a breakaway room where we're having conversations around faith and how it affects, how it impacts your life and juxtaposing that with African beliefs and all sorts of, it was incredible. It was a really amazing experience.
You say men's conference. I've always thought that it was sort of a parody kind of thing. So it's a real thing now.
It kind of started as a parody from back in the day. You know, we traditionally we would say we're doing it on the 13th to the 16th of February to run away from Valentine's Day. that's how the parody started.
On
social media and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then somewhere along the way, we actually did realize that there is a need for this.
Yeah.
I'm seeing them more and more. I've attended several.
Really?
Yes, over the past couple of years. This one that I'm talking about is an annual one.
Yeah.
This was a second one.
Yeah.
I've attended one at Rivers Church as well. They also have an annual one. There's several. And more we're realizing that we need a safe space.
Could it be, though, Linda, that maybe we have upended ourselves as men by readily accepting the notion that we are tigers, don't cry?
Mm.
Because the more I get involved in these kinds of conversations like I'm having with you now, and we've been running this feature now for almost 2 years, Linda, we've been running this feature, Man Talk, for almost 2 years. I think 3 years, almost 3 years, sorry. And it's quite successful. People want to talk. Guys want to talk about these kinds of things.
Yeah.
Could it be that maybe we readily took on a notion without really checking it out, really testing it? The idea that men prefer to not talk at a deep emotional level about certain things. Could it be that maybe society didn't provide the opportunities for men to talk about these things because we had all bought into this idea that men have got to be rough, tough, and like rocks and not really express themselves?
I think, Obs, there's a lot of things that we accept unthinkingly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of norms that we not only accept, but pass on.
Yeah.
Without interrogating. So your dad says to you, tigers don't cry.
Yeah.
From infancy, yeah. From, you know, from as a toddler,
yeah.
you fall and you hurt yourself and he says, real man doesn't cry.
Yep.
And so, you know, you've got that in your head. And you then pass that on to your son as well. But more and more, we're getting a generation that's questioning everything that's always been considered normal.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're saying, do I need to bury my pain to prove that I'm a man?
Yeah.
And the answer is a resounding no.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a gradual process, because here's the reality, and I've heard this from several guys.
Yeah.
If you open up, or let me say, these guys have opened up to the lady in their life and whatnot, and in the moment she was accepting of this, she was, you know, there for him, but the moment they hit a sour patch in their relationship, that's one of the things that will be used against you.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of man are you? You even a crybaby and whatnot. Meanwhile, he was being applauded a few months ago for opening up and for allowing himself to cry in front of her, for allowing himself to express his pain and, yeah. and so on and so forth. So, you know, you then ask yourself, is that man going to freely cry in front of his next partner? After having experienced this with this previous part.
So give us a call. We've already got a couple of calls coming through on 011-883-0702. How did you handle that breakup with the special someone? Yeah. Have you healed? Have you actually stopped and talked about it and really understood the dynamics of what actually happened there?
Mm.
Do you resort to the toxic behavior of getting under her to get over her? Yeah. Have you acknowledged it to yourself that you were deeply hurt? Have you acknowledged to yourself that you deeply hurt someone else? Or is it just a matter of, oh, that's the way love goes?
Mm.
Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. The number to dial is 011-883-0702. How did you handle it? You want to put on your ears there so you can hear? No, you don't have any ears?
Don't have.
Let's see if we can organize some ears for you very quickly. My guest is Linda Yende. He is an author, and I'm looking at the first book he wrote called Wake Up Woman. What's the title of the recent one?
Okay, so the second book is called Dear Uncle L.
Right.
Yeah, I just got this. You know how there was a Dear Dolly back in the day and that sort of thing? I became the kindly Uncle L.
All right. And people obviously ask about those intimate emotional sort of issues that people will ask. Please give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702. We have a feature on a Friday evening.
Oh, yeah.
Called Your Voices, Your Choices, where people, it's old school radio, people call in and ask for a particular song, and, you know, it reminds them of a particular thing. You know, old school radio, that kind of radio.
Sure, back Kansas City.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And I'm watching. I don't have the science of it because I haven't been tracking it scientifically, but most of the guys that call in.
Yeah.
Will call in because there's been a recent breakup. The song just reminds them about that. Or a guy asked for a song last week, in fact, by Temptation. Do you know the song, Men Cry Too?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I wonder if you realize Men Cry Too. Anyway, but I'm beginning to see the pattern that guys are looking for ways to express this thing.
Yeah.
This unresolved energy about having broken up with somebody that they love.
Mm.
But because we are in this bubble of expectation, of societal expectation that says, you know, the boys don't cry.
Couldn't mourn.
When we want to, we need to, right? Yeah. And I'm hoping that this platform, this conversation that you and I are presenting to our brothers out there. And I'm hoping that the sisters out there are also listening to this, and you can give us some perspective from your experience with men in a breakup situation that maybe we are blindsided to. Because we maybe just too close to it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that happens, that sometimes you're just so close to a situation that you don't have the insight.
Mm. Look, it does happen. I think more than anything, we need to be able to interrogate it. Ask ourselves why we are the way that we are. And that's a very difficult conversation to have with self. We're supposed to be stoic. We're supposed to be, you know, strong.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be unflappable. So to suddenly sit there and say, you know what, I suffered issues of abandonment when I was younger because, you know, my father left us, or whatever the case might be. And since then, I've not been able to handle somebody leaving me. And, you know, whatever it is, whatever you find yourself going through at the end of a relationship, your abandonment issues are definitely going to come to the surface.
Yeah.
If that's what you have, if that's what you've suffered from in the past.
I want to take a call from Dumsani in Germiston. Dumsani, good evening to you.
How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm very good. What is on your mind?
No, I'm trying to say that men should not be scared or afraid to cry. Have a corner, cry, exhaust your tears, and then you'll be amazed how you'll be relieved after crying. And then because when you lose someone, you're even scared to face the people. You are even scared to, even if you see people standing in twos and threes, you feel like they are talking about you. You feel like they are laughing at you. And then don't be scared. Cry. Well, and then even if you lose, you talk to someone, and then those tears come back. Don't be scared. Cry. And then the minute you exhaust all the tears, then the answers come back. You're amazed how the answers keep on coming to you. That be strong. Don't be scared. There's tomorrow. There's another day. And you'll be amazed that maybe in 2 years, your time, the very same woman that left you, you'll be friends. And you'll be like friends, and then you will forget that man, that woman was ever my lover, was ever my wife. Instead, you'll be a brother to her, you'll be a father to her. You will take her as your friend, where you cry to, whenever you face any problems of a woman's problem, you can even share with her how to deal with this problem. I mean, don't be scared to cry.
Dumsani in Germiston, thanks very much, man. Thanks very much for the great call. Anonymous is in Johannesburg. Hi, Anonymous.
Hi, bro. How are you?
I'm well, Anonymous. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. So the thing with me, to be quite honest, I think I haven't healed. Because what happened with this particular woman. So just to tell you a little bit of what happened, I experienced a lot of abuse when I was growing up, especially on the paternal side. Mm. So after my dad got remarried, and then the my mother, who came after the actual mom, then she was abusive toward me until I make a decision that in my life I don't want to get married ever again. I just want nothing to do with being in a relationship, like fall in love with someone else. Up until I meet her. And then I explained everything to her. She understood. And then we sort of like understand one another. And then cut a long story short, I think probably in a period of 2 years, then she got pregnant. We have a child. A couple of months later, then she decided to change everything else. And then I tried to sort of like convince myself to just move on with life. But what makes it worse now is that she decided to cut me off from the child's life. So every time, because I've been crying, as the previous caller said, like, you need to keep trying. I've been crying, and I feel like I'm over her if maybe she decides to come back and whatsoever. But now, because she denied access to the little baby, then it just brings everything back to me. So I think like it's hard for some of us who went through this to sort of heal along the way. And when we try to open up to other people, they'd be like, ah, come on, man, you're a guy. Just get over it. Only to find out that this thing is way deeper than it seems. It's way deeper than they thought. So that's the whole situation. But we just hope that over time, maybe it's just going to, you know, if maybe we can also be involved in those public areas like the men conference centers where they welcome some of us and offer this healing, because I feel like there are those gentlemen who don't have the men with the mentality, like those who say get over it, people who are willing to just sit you down and process everything that you're going through.
Anonymous, thanks very much for your call.
Yeah.
Belinda?
Thank you.
Anonymous, I think I'm going to start by saying we refuse to say get over it. We will say you'll get through it. You will get through it. And, you know, we are hopefully starting the process where this becomes normal. It becomes normalized for you to be able to reach out to your brothers, have a conversation with us, cry and know and understand that there'll be no judgment. Know and understand that we will listen and we will pay attention.
There is obviously I'm really trying hard to say this in ways that are going to express my meaning in the right sort of way.
Sure.
In the locker room.
Yeah.
the conversation is, she loves me so much that she can't think straight. Because I digmatized her.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I'm Mandingo.
Yeah? She can't even think straight. That's how much she loves me, because I digmatized her.
Sure.
And many times, guys are afraid to acknowledge that I actually fell in love. I connected deeply with this person, and for whatever reasons, that relationship didn't work.
Yeah.
But because of the prevalence of the locker room narrative in our minds that she loves me because I digmatized her, it's then interpreted as, I love her so much and I'm so grief-stricken by the breakup because she whipped me. Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Because I'm whipped. And no guy wants to accept the fact that the same reason for the vulgarization of the love that a woman had for you, yeah?
Can exist for you.
Can exist for you.
Oh, yeah. Come on now.
I told you I have stories, bro.
I wish you would.
I told you I have stories.
I wish you would.
I'll tell you why I know this.
Yeah.
Because I'm a prick. I come from there.
You've been there.
Been there. And I realize that the reason, the biggest reason why guys are ashamed, ashamed, I'm using that word very deliberately,
sure,
to have open discussions about their grief, because they're scared to accept that they have vulgarized true love when they broke up with certain people and walked around swinging, yeah, saying that I had digmatized her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I had mesmerized her that way, right? And now it happens to you, the only logical frame of reference to this moment in your life is the digmatization.
Yeah. Which would be your cat whipped.
Because you're whipped. You're cat whipped, bro. Yeah.
And nobody wants
and
to
nobody
admit that.
And nobody wants to admit that.
No, never.
Talk to me about, do you hear what I'm saying?
I hear you. Right, okay. I hear you 100%.
Yeah.
Listen, I hear you 100%. And the reality is this. Even from the get-go, we're sitting. We're a bunch of mates.
Yep.
And I say to you guys, I got to go. I promised my lady I'd be back by 10 o'clock. So I need to leave now in order to be there by 10 and keep my promise.
Yep.
What are y'all going to say?
He done me whipped.
Yep. You know what I'm saying?
The cat had done whipped you.
Yeah. And from that moment on, I won't even tell you anything about her from that moment on, because it'll be the whip cracking all over again as far as you are concerned.
Sure.
And the reality is, that'll be me saying, you know what? I want to be a man of my word to this woman. All I want to do is keep my promise. It's such a simple thing.
Why are we so afraid of authenticity?
Because...
is that the right question? Because it appears to me that here's the woman that loved you, right?
Yeah.
And that loves you, that you took advantage of because you were just immature in your mind.
Sure.
You were just a boy, right? But this woman loved you, proper love, deep, serious love. And you took advantage of her, and then you whatever you did, right?
Sure.
And then you fall in love. Right, you the guy falls in love. You connect with this person at all the levels that connection, affords you. Right, you connect with her. There's real love, and you see that as a weakness, because you can't stand the authenticity of you having to surrender to something bigger than yourself, and that's loving somebody else. Right?
Yeah, that requires looking at yourself in the mirror.
Absolutely,
and you don't want to do that.
Why?
Don't want to do that. It's an uncomfortable thing. It's an uncomfortable, uncomfortable thing. And until we normalize it, until we, and it all begins with one.
Yeah,
I've seen in any group situation,
yeah,
it all starts with one guy saying, "You know what? I felt some kind of way when this happened to me. I was hurting. I was in pain." All of a sudden. Everything that is normal in a group starts with one or two rebels who are willing to turn that around and make it normal, who are willing to say, you know what, I will risk ridicule from you guys. I will risk you even shunning me as your member. But I'm going to tell you right now, I've gone through pain. I've experienced this.
Because I was in love.
Because I was in love. In fact, it starts with acknowledging the love.
I'm so glad you said that.
Because it starts there.
I think a big part of the problem is that we tend to want to create the impression that we are impervious.
Yeah.
We have this suit of armor against this drowning, limiting thing called love.
Yeah.
Right?
In our
childish, boyish ways of thinking, we tend to think that being in love is to be weak.
Love is a weakness.
Yeah.
It's seen as that. And once again, I really want to go back to, we have no choice but to do this. I have to go back to our parents. Go back to the fact that the person who constantly told you they loved you was your mother and not your father.
That's right. I've never heard my dad say that.
There we go. And to me, that in itself is the first point.
So my boys are very affectionate.
Yeah.
I've got two boys and a little girl. My middle child is a girl.
Sure.
My oldest boy is a boy.
I don't know how you did this, man. You said boy, girl, boy again.
Anyway, my boys are very affectionate. That they get from their mom. Their mom is a very affectionate person. She's openly affectionate. And
yeah.
So And I come from a background where, you know, I got to work on my, on being openly affectionate.
Sure.
I love it. I love being touched. I love being hugged. But hey, I feel awkward.
Right? Yeah.
I feel awkward because yeah. I grew up in an environment where it didn't readily happen. Right.
Yeah.
And now I'm forcing to say to my sons, I love you, boy. Yeah, I love you. I'm proud of you. I really love you. And give my boy a long hug that goes past the awkwardness.
Yeah.
Right? This goes past the awkwardness.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Until it's no longer awkward anymore.
Sure.
It's easy with my little
girl. With the daughter, yeah. Easy. Yeah, of course.
But maybe there's a conversation to be had about our awkwardness with authentic affection.
Yeah. That's where it starts.
Yeah.
That is precisely where it starts. It starts with us, our generation, normalizing affection.
Yeah.
Between ourselves.
Yeah.
I could walk into a room right now. And there'll be a female friend and a male friend. The hug I give to the female friend will be a genuine hug.
Yeah.
And the man will be
touching the shoulder.
Touching the shoulder. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's it.
get away from me
as quickly as possible. As quickly as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Now, we then ask ourselves the question, does that imply that I'm trying to get with the lady? Why have I normalized showing her affection that I can't show to my male friend?
Mm. Mm. Deep stuff. Got more calls. Can I take some of these?
Yes, please.
1-888-3-0-7-0-2. Audacity says to you, I salute the intent of your guest, but women will use a man's weakness against him anyway.
I kind of mentioned that,
yeah.
You know, the fact that sometimes you open up to a lady and, you know, I mean, I've like I said, there's a friend of mine who is specific. There's more than one friend who's experienced this.
Yeah.
You know, down the line, she says, yeah, footwena, you're a crybaby, yeah. And this and that,
yeah,
and that.
Yeah.
So, yes, the point is this. The first few people who try something will always be.
Well, they'll receive the headwinds.
They'll bear the brunt.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? We are pioneers, my man.
Yeah, yeah.
Have the audacity, to be your genuine self, to be true to your emotions, and be okay with that.
I want to ask you a question after taking these calls. That's coming through. As a result of what Audacity has just said.
But, sure.
Buddha is in Springs. Good evening to you, Buddha.
Wala bafe tu.
Wala.
No, I mean, I was grateful to be raised by that old man who unfortunately passed away and the wife.
Yeah.
They taught me, ukala accident wrong. I've seen my father breaking down right in front of us more than 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Such that it was normal.
Man.
Now, it's unfortunate when I love you and you see my love as a weakness. It's unfortunate.
Mm. Mm.
And the worst part that can heal a person is the support system. Oh, God, grace me with good friends.
Mm.
When I break down, they are there for me to pick me up.
That's brilliant.
And one friend of mine, Melusim Ndebele, taught me that the only way forward is with a broken heart.
Man.
Regards to all my friends, Nunuzan, Melusi, all of them, Nana, Saibai. Oh,
I love this call because he's vocalizing his gratitude
to his
inner circle. Yeah?
Absolutely,
yeah, yeah,
absolutely. And you're calling them out by name. I love that, yeah. Man. I love that.
Telling you about to Ninezinja mina. When go blind, and sabu go ibega with bafetu u esko mutatum kakas. But yet, I.
Not under our watch. Yeah.
I'm telling you.
So Buddha's expressing the fact that he is not ashamed because of the authenticity of his support group, his friends, to even say, in times that I don't have the money to buy electricity.
Yeah.
I don't have the money. It's a vulnerability that many of us will not
refuse
express. Yeah.
Let me tell you there, bro. Not that I don't have the money to buy electricity.
Yeah.
That my manhood is down, guys.
I'm glad you translated, obviously.
Sorry. So Buddha is saying that sometimes he's impotent.
And yes. You know what? It happens.
Yeah, it happens. It happens.
To the best of us.
And the thing is that we will never want to have a straightforward conversation with the brothers about that, right?
No,
because you're on all the time.
No,
right?
I'm a stud.
Wow,
we are all studs.
And that I tell my female friends more than my male friends.
Yo,
Humtakazi is down, bro.
That's incredible.
This is one man who's comfortable in his skin.
Bruh.
I got that from my parents, and I've shared this with my son.
You see, it all begins with you, man. It all begins with one person.
It begins with you.
Oh, that's incredible,
man. It begins with you. At home, crying is not an issue.
Yo.
And you know what? That's how you get help.
It's not an issue.
Yo. But I imagine, Buddha, that there might have been a time when you were singled out, ostracized, perhaps even victimized for being so authentically open about your life.
Not at all. You know why?
Really, eh?
Oh, my mother used to say, "Indoda engezwa ngomfazayo." It's samandebele khaya. Indoda engezwa ngomgayo ayinayo umfazi.
A man who does not hear from his wife is not.
He does not have a wife.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. So, and my father used to say, "If ungezwa ngomfazi wakho ufuna ukuzwa ngobani."
Yeah, if you don't hear from your wife, who are you going to hear from, yeah?
Yeah.
Exactly. I preached that gospel to my friends from early age. Fortunately, again, mina bangani bami ngibuya from standard 3 to date. I've turned 60 last Sunday.
Wait, how
so
old?
60.
60, 6-0.
I'm 60.
Man, your energy, Buddha, is incredible.
Buddha, I've got to let you go. I've got to let you go because I want to take some calls. Your call is beautifully refreshing. Thank you so much for that call. Much appreciated. Here's an interesting thing.
Sure.
Before I take the other call that I'm also picking up.
Mm.
This idea that vulnerability is weakness.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got to fix that thing, man. We got to fix that thing that says that when I'm vulnerable, sure, it's a moment of weakness.
Mm.
But vulnerability itself
is strength.
Is strength.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Because...
So in other words, what I'm trying to say is that the vehicle that the strength of vulnerability uses is weakness.
Yeah. I think we have to sometimes put it in terms that a man will understand.
Yeah.
And that is sometimes you've got to retreat in order to advance stronger.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that moment of vulnerability is you retreating a little bit. But that doesn't mean you're giving up. It certainly doesn't mean you are turning your back on whatever it is that you're trying to do, that you're trying to achieve. That short moment of vulnerability actually helps you gather strength to come back stronger.
We're still talking about how we deal with breakups in a romantic scene. And most of our conversation has been heteronormative.
Mm. Right?
It's about between a man and a woman. Would the same issues be true in a gay couple?
I would only assume so. Yeah. You know what? Honestly, that's something I've never actually interrogated, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
But having had gay friends, I've seen... nothing different.
Similar stuff, yeah.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar. You know, there'll be that one who just goes out on the town and just...
Paints it red. Literally.
Or pink, as the case might be.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Yeah.
And there will be regrets afterwards. Say, you know what, I went buck wild. I did too much. just because I was trying to prove that I'm okay.
Six more calls. Anonymous is in Soweto. Hi, Anonymous. Hello, Anonymous. Yeah, good man. Good, Anonymous. What's on your mind, sir?
Oh, I don't know if I would wrap this from, but I'm looking at this at very, very different angle.
Sure.
Yeah? Okay.
Look, as us, the African people, yeah, when it comes to relationships, whether it's between a wife and a husband,
yeah,
a father and a son,
yeah,
a father and a daughter, an uncle and a nephew, or an uncle and a niece. And I'm talking here about us as people. How do we want things to be like? The thing is, my ops, we've let pain is running through, you know, from the previous generations to the present generations and to the coming generation.
Mm-hmm.
To talk about abuse.
Yeah.
Again,
it goes back for me, Anonymous, to some of the narratives that we have normalized and accepted to be true. When
That's it. Yeah. Can I? I
sure.
Hear you.
Okay.
But can I just finish?
Sure.
Thing is, you take, you know, and perhaps I would be I'm really speaking under correction, and I'm trying to understand.
Sure.
As the black people or as the African people,
yeah,
how do we want to organize our communities? I'm saying this because you'd find that in other societies, that is, you'd obviously say they would obviously take on a certain day, perhaps on a Saturday, on a Sunday, they would go to church, they would go to mosque, they would go to, you know, and then they would say, this is how we want to live.
Sure.
Given the challenges that are there. So today, you know, you'd get into a relationship with someone,
mm-hmm,
and then when you get into that relationship with that somebody, she doesn't see you or purely as somebody who loves her. She sees you as somebody, perhaps as a provider, before even she sees you as a lover. She sees you as a provider. You know, I'm saying this. I may be wrong. Mm. I may be wrong in the way I see things, in the way I analyze things.
Yeah.
And then when you get into relationship with those terms, that,
yeah,
I'm not simply in this relationship because I simply love this person. Whatever happens there, we will see how do we tackle it, given where we are, given our commitment to one another.
And
what happens?
I want to give our guest a chance to respond to some of the ideas you're putting out, Anonymous, and I've got one more call to take. But I think the essence of what you're saying, we get. Let me hear what Linda has to say. Linda?
Look, I think one of the things we need to learn and eventually make peace with is the fact that you are more than one thing as a human being.
Yeah.
You are multifaceted. You bring so much more to the table than yourself as a provider.
Yeah.
You are also a lover. You are also a confidant. You are also this. You are also that. There's so many different layers and so many different roles that you play in the lives of the people around you. You're not just one thing.
Yeah.
The moment you insist on sort of putting yourself into a box and being one thing and one thing only, you miss out on so much more that you could give as a human being. So I think there's nothing wrong with you being the provider. Mm. There's nothing wrong with you sort of putting that forward as you, as your primary role.
Mm.
But you must also be other things to your family. This is the reason why, if we're going to go back to family, this is the reason why you grow up not knowing your father. Because he was just the guy that paid for the roof over your head. He was just the guy that put that paid for the groceries, paid for your school fees and whatever. And
by not knowing, you don't mean not knowing that this is my father, but just
not having
a connected relationship with him.
Not knowing who he is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he kept himself sealed off. Yeah. He was this stoic human being that sat there and read the newspaper. You saw the newspaper more than you saw him.
Yeah.
That's a narrative that we need to try and change as fathers, as heads of households, because the first man that you will interact with in your life is your father.
Yeah.
And he will teach you manhood.
I resonate with that quite deeply as well. This ability to open up and just be.
And be.
Not only with your significant other, but your children, your just be.
Yeah.
Aubrey, because we're constantly performing, yeah?
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, you know, I learned so much about my father from his friends at his funeral. I discover, oh, my father used to be this. He used to have a sense of humor. He used to love.
Yeah.
Because I never saw that side of him.
Yeah.
And people will share his jokes and they'll talk about the things he used to do and whatever, things I never got to experience simply because he never showed that side of himself to me.
Lee van Gemmert on the WhatsApp line says, "Hi, Orbs, I hope you will stand up for those courageous men who admitted to emotional hurt in your show. Thanks, Orbs." Lee, I don't need to. I don't need to stand up for anybody. You know, I think that this conversation is not a political conversation. We're not trying to have a one-upmanship here. We don't want a contestation of influence.
Yeah. Look, what I think Lee is saying here more than anything is they at some point people need a safe space.
Yeah.
So if somebody has allowed themselves to be vulnerable, then you say, kudos. This is where you can be vulnerable.
Right.
And we say kudos to you.
Yeah.
Because normal gets determined by society. And we are society.
Yeah.
I am society. You are society. Yeah. So I think standing up just simply means to sit there and applaud them and say, you know what?
Yeah.
Well done. Yeah. Kudos for speaking your truth.
Yeah.
But
isn't that sad?
Let's keep doing it. Look, it's sad, but somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. I say sad because, and this is not going after Lee.
Sure,
Lee,
sure.
I get what you're saying, and I think Linda has encapsulated what your meaning is, and I agree with him. I'm saying sad in the sense that we are at a place where we have to applaud normality.
Yeah.
What should be normal? We're at a place where we have to applaud what should be normal because it's not normal.
We can say this about so many things in our society, Aubrey. If a father is present in his child's life, we have to applaud him simply because of how
abnormal
lacking
it is.
That is.
Yeah.
If a man stands up and speaks out against his friends being abusive to women, or to, you know, whatever the case might be, things that should be normal, we got to applaud them. And we've got to applaud them and we've got to applaud them until it gets to a point where they are normal. There's no need to. But right now, let's keep clapping for fishes who swim. Yeah.
Because fishes aren't swimming.
They're not swimming. They're drowning. They're floating at the top of the pond.
As we close, and I want to go back to our main reason for why we've had this conversation.
Yeah.
I'm getting the sense that this conversation has said it is normal to grieve and to be hurt.
Sure.
When a relationship that you valued breaks.
Absolutely. It's normal to admit that you are human. It's normal to admit that you are able to be hurt. You're capable of experiencing pain. It is normal for you to go through a grieving period. And you know what? I met my wife during my grieving period from a previous relationship, because everybody who knew me was like, oh my God, there's this guy. He's just, we are Kuisha. He's going through the most, you know, and guess what? This woman with an amazing sense of humor showed up, and she's been here.
How do people find you, man?
12 years later. I am on all social media platforms, as Lynn Diane.